I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back. If you're new to the show, we are the podcast that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. One track at a time, of course. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, winter finally came back at us with a huge vengeance this week. How's it feeling up there?
Same, but I tell you what, I'm not feeling the cold today at all, because earlier today I was able to secure my tickets to see Metallica in 2024 in Edmonton, Alberta. We're not going to get into Metallica or what we think of the new track or Metallica since, you know, 1991 or anything, but Mammoth, WVH, Wolfie Van Halen is opening the Friday night with Pantera on that tour. So I'm very, very excited to swing this back around to Van Halen. I get to go see Wolfgang and Mammoth. And of course, 2024, his new album will be out by then. So we'll get some new tracks in there. And I'm pretty excited. I haven't been to a big stadium show since Guns N' Roses quite a while ago. So very, you know, I know it's 2 years off and all, but I'm very, very excited.
I'm hoping in that amount of time, 2 years, maybe the tour will decide to expand, because they're not coming to my city, and I find that a little disappointing. If nothing else, I would like to see Wolfie live. And I mean, I think if you are a fan of the heavy metal slash hard rock, whatever variety, I think it's a rite of passage to see a band like Metallica, because they're still going. And at one point they were extremely integral to metal. So, I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. Say what you will about their career post or pre whatever album you prefer. But keeping it relevant, Wolfie, I need to see Wolfie live. I'm sure he'll make his way around my parts sometime soon, within the next year or so. And I hope sooner rather than later, because I would really like to see him live. Corey, we are not alone for this show. That's right. It's another guest week. And this guest is not a new guest at all. In fact, this is probably one of our more famous guests or famous episodes, because, oh my God, there are times where we discuss a track, and sometimes even for Van Halen, it's not their best. I dare say, Corey, feel free to disagree or agree with me. This the episode with our guests beforehand might be one of the worst Van Halen songs I've ever heard. Would you say it's our most hated track so far in this journey?
Oh, easily. And I know after that episode aired, everybody, like a lot of people on Twitter, came out and said, you need to get this guy back on the show. He needs to be redeemed. He took that bullet for every other potential guest that has come after him. So we thought, you know, it's Christmas time. It's the season of giving. Let's get him back and let's give him a proper Mark Kammeyer introduction. Here we go.
'Tis the season of giving, indeed, and giving us his wonderful presence yet again. Also, our network mate from the podcast so far, So Pod, So What. I hope I got that right. Welcome back, Greg DePasquale. Greg, how you feeling tonight?
I'm cautiously optimistic. is how I'm feeling right now.
Good, very good. That's, I think that's the way to go. Did I get the podcast? Did I get the name right?
Yes. Yeah, So Far, So Pod, So What? The Nailed. Transatlantic state-of-the-art speed metal podcast.
Nice. Very nice. You can, as I said, our network mate. So you can find his show on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. So be sure to do that. Greg, so I just want to personally say thank you for coming back, because it was such a rough episode. You took the bullets, so to speak, in terms of what is going, as Corey and I just said, like, how many say I, the dreaded track from your first visit. Not the greatest Van Halen track by any means. Some would say probably their absolute worst. And I gotta say, through our journey, for me personally, I don't know if we've done a worse one. And you were so excited to be on the show, and just the disappointment as soon as we spun it, because it was the one, it was, I think, one of the ones you even said, I really don't want to do this song. Am I correct?
I think it was made worse by the fact that I was able to see what song it almost was. And I think it was, I don't remember the exact song, but I mean, just for comparison of quality, it was like we missed, like, I don't know. Well, for lack of a better example, just name a really awesome song. Like, we missed Unchained by like one click. Right. You know, it was like, it was literally like, it was feast. Total feast or complete abject famine, and it was smited by the wheel that day and cursed with famine. But to be fair, it was a pretty, I mean, at least it was entertaining, you know. It was an entertaining episode because of how bad the subject matter was, I guess. So I mean, it's like, I mean, at least it wasn't boring, you know.
I would love to
not have a shitty song today, though. That would be great.
I think you are, because of the nature of that song and how we all collectively felt about it, maybe more so you and myself. I think Corey was just a tad more positive on it, if I'm not mistaken. Corey,
fuck no.
No. Oh, I thought you were like, oh, let me just be Holy nice shit. Just because, like, no.
I feel like that was kind of I feel like we were all kind of on the same page with how bad it was. Yeah. I didn't really feel like there was any
right.
Maybe Corey was maybe a touch more diplomatic about his displeasure in it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, a little
but that more was diplomatic. Not. But I would. Yeah. But there's no way that diplomacy could be confused as an endorsement. I mean, it was the table was round with displeasure.
Yeah. I'll give you credit on that. Yeah, you did not endorse it.
Greg and I both said, like, musically, there's some good stuff in there. Like, just
yeah, okay, yeah, but maybe that was something like that. But anyway, but all that to say, you're owed a really good one. We don't know how the wheel, as she is a fickle bitch, we don't know how she's going to feel with your grand return, but we've got some time to ponder that. Corey, other than Mammoth coming around with Metallica, anything else good in the Van Halen world these days?
Well, I tell you, there's a very cool thing you can find on Van Halen News Desk. It's some unseen footage of Van Halen in 1978. And Greg Renoff actually tweeted it out. There was video, but no audio. But there's been copies of the audio from that concert in Niagara Falls Convention Center, September 8th, 1978, floating around there. So Greg just kind of said, hey, anybody out there with the capabilities want to sync the audio with the video? And somebody did. And that video... Van Halen fan Tanner Jordan, I want to give him credit, because he actually went through and painstakingly matched the audio to the video. And it's not like it's one song completely through; it's very choppy, and they play snippets of different songs. So he really went through and for 10 minutes, you know, synced up all the audio and did a really fantastic job. So there's not a lot of video of Van Halen back in 1978. Usually at that time, It was the venue themselves that would record a little thing on film, usually 16 millimeter film. And that's what we got here. So the quality is not great, but synced with the audio. It's a rare glimpse into Van Halen in 1978. And it's very, very cool. And I highly recommend everybody go check that out on the Van Halen news desk.
Actually, absolutely. Real quick, if I could weigh in, I believe that gig was right in my backyard in Niagara Falls, New York.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's about 15, 20 minutes for me. So yeah, it was pretty cool to see that, you know, like, I mean, you could tell, it was awesome. You could totally tell. I mean, you could see when a band is on the coming up, when they got the fire, you could just see it. You know, it's even if they didn't sync it up, like, you would be able to imagine it. You could just tell by the way they were just attacking stuff up there. They were, you know, they had blood on their lips, you know.
Yeah. That was my perspective when I first watched the video. Just it was like, I didn't see it with I still haven't watched it with the synced up audio at this point. I've just seen it without the audio, but just the visual. And I was like, even visually, man, these guys were just absolutely electric. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, good stuff from Van Halen News. Thank you, everybody at Van Halen News Desk. Big shout out. So now we move on to the portion of we talk about what is being said about the songs that we cover week to week. The rockin' poll, as I like to vote on it. And last week we did the cover of Oh Pretty Woman, one of Van Halen's, I would say, one of their most famous tracks that they've done, and they didn't even write it. But we put up the poll. Corey, what did the poll say about people's view on Pretty Woman?
Well, I tell you what, I thought this one would be a little more divisive, actually, the way it was kind of shaking out. It was like 60-40 for a long time. But it was actually 79.2% What Dreams Are Made Of, 20.8% This Dream Is Over, out of 106 votes. So a good turnout for that poll. And, you know, overwhelmingly positive on Oh Pretty Woman. Kind of a surprise.
Yeah, I actually was thinking the other way, even though people have their opinions about Van Halen covers. I figured this one would still vote a little higher with What Dreams Are Made Of. For some reason, I think the 79 is just too low. It's interesting. Well, but
it's a weird cover because they went in the studio, they knocked it out in a day. I think I said on the show, mm-hmm. Dave Lee Roth thought everyone's going to forget about us if we take a break. Eddie really wanted a break. So they're going to record a cover. Of course, Dave wanted Dancing in the Streets, and Eddie said, no, we can't fucking do that. But he recommended Oh Pretty Woman. But you know, they got into an argument in the studio. We didn't even talk about this on the show. They were actually fighting in the studio, and they left out like a whole section of music in the song, and they just decided to leave it that way. So really kind of a weird cover for them, but it turned out pretty good. And the majority of the people agree, 79%, What Dreams Are Made Of. Greg, I don't know if you voted on this one. What would your vote have been on Oh Pretty Woman?
Oh, it's one. I think it's the, it's the old conundrum of songs like that. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not their song, so there's maybe not the emotional connectivity to it that would maybe be there if it was one of their own. But one of their own's, I just said owns. Off to a bad start. But even so, I always thought that the covers they did back in the day, because you know they had them on, they had a lot back in those early records. So.
Yep.
I always thought they did a really, really good job, and I thought their covers were always done relatively faithfully, but with like a little extra pep into them. Like, you know, instead of like regular gas, they got, you know, the premium. You know, they'll spring the extra 45 cents for the good gas, you know, for the covers. And so I would have voted, I would absolutely vote in favor of that song. It's not better than, you know, any of the originals on that record, I don't think, mm-hmm. but it definitely deserves to be in the Van Halen lexicon of classics. I mean, if their version of You Really Got Me can be in it, then why can't Oh Pretty Woman, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I agree. Yeah. So what do you say we get into some comments here, Mark?
Yeah. Let's see what people are saying about it.
All right. And this one just came in an hour ago from our buddy Brian and his cohorts at the You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, and they say the video for this song, along with the boat scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, are two of the most frightening moments from my childhood. Remember, they do a Friday the 13th podcast, and the scariest things they saw were the boat scene from Willy Wonka and the video for this song. There's just something oddly unsettling about Diamond Dave's performance. Wow, but you're not wrong. Like, that is a weird fucking video.
Yeah,
I remember it was banned. I know Japan didn't like it because they thought it was... disparaging to samurais because Mikey was wearing the bandana upside down, and nobody liked the transvestites and the midgets and all that. So yeah, it was a very controversial video at the time.
It's all around scariness, but I do I'm gonna have to agree that the Willy Wonka boat scene is kind of frightening even to this day, depending on the context. Yeah. So
nightmare fuel, 100%.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with the boys from You're All Doomed, because why would I do that? They know best.
That's right. Let's move on. Chaz Bataz, our old buddy Chaz Charles, says, damn, so many comments I agree with. I will just hoist a toast in your general direction. Well done, gents. The podmost host nailed that shit again. Thanks, Chaz.
Hey, yeah.
Scott Monroe says, oh, I'm torn, guys, but I can't bring myself to downvote. I like Eddie's guitar and Mike's harmonies, but if I'm being brutally honest, it's a song I skip in rotation. DLR isms feel unnatural and chorus sounds strained, tired. A respectful cover and a thumbs up for me, but barely. And I think that was kind of the consensus by a lot of people. It's a thumbs up, but, you know, not by a huge margin.
That's interesting. As I agree with Greg's comment about being at kind of in the echelon of Van Halen classics, despite the fact that it's not technically a Van Halen song, but I mean, they made it their own. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of, that's odd to me.
False Premises back, and they say DD was the first Van Halen album I bought. Intruder is just menacing. If I ever had to go full Liam Neeson for my daughter's sake, this would be my accompaniment. That's a great line, because yeah.
Oh wow.
I mean, that is a choice, and I would certainly, much like if I saw Liam Neeson coming at me, I'd run the other way.
That's... I'm trying to picture that. Yeah, that could work for sure. Yeah,
Liam Neeson on the phone saying, I have a particular set of skills. Right. If I find you, I will kill you. You know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Just slow build up of just like, what the hell is that? Yeah, I get it.
Right, yeah.
Ray says, I have never heard Oh Pretty Woman without the intro of Intruder. This is a weird one. An intro that doesn't fit the song. A missing guitar lead, like I mentioned earlier. The two frontmen at odds during the recording, and yet, it winds up being a terrific song. How many other bands could pull that off? Very few,
not
I would
many.
Think.
Yeah. Symphony X, and that's about it.
Symphony X, man.
That was the first thing that popped in my head. One of those guys.
I wasn't expecting that. It caught me off guard.
All right. Our the artist formerly known as Airhead, Ryan Powell, who is actually going through every Van Halen song and bracketing him up and kind of picking, and follow his Twitter account because he's got some really interesting ones. He had one, it was I don't remember the matchup, it was Spanked and something else, and he called it the Corey Morsett bracket. And I
must
said
be,
yeah,
Pleasure Dome.
It must be, because I said it's like Sophie's Choice if both of Sophie's choices were fucking terrible. But I think he actually picked a Spanked on that one. So, but his comment on this song is, Al's drive, Ed's tone, and the vocal harmonies make this one for me. Not as inspired of a cover as You Really Got Me, but it is a great song with a solid Van Halen treatment. Intruder represents an interesting stylistic contrast with the same drum beat, dark, creepy, and driving.
Yeah. I think by design, even if it feels like it was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Our stable mates at the Rock Roulette podcast said, this is my favorite version of the song, even with the missing part. Eddie's guitar parts are great. There you go. I agree with that statement. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Urs Hessenhauer says, Diver Down was a rushed album with no time for songwriting or lots of attention to detail. Yet the quality of this song and most others on the album prove how incredibly unique their sound and how tight the band was at that time. Mm. Oh, here's a downvote for you guys from our buddies at the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Sean and Todd say, this is a downvote for me and Todd. In cover bands, Todd and I always wanted to add in something by Van Halen, and the only thing we could get away with were the covers. You Really Got Me and Pretty Woman, because didn't like that rock stuff. But we got away with these because I honestly think the other band members thought they were doing covers of the original versions of these songs. I dug You Really Got Me, but playing Pretty Woman so many times, I just can't anymore. It's a skipper of this album for me. I do not skip Intruder, though. So maybe it's just because he's played
that's
it so
fair.
Many times and he's sick of it. Yeah,
that's, I 100% understand where you're coming from on that one, Sean and Todd. So you get a pass this one time. Yeah. Just this one.
Someone who goes by the name of Cheeky Alice says, fun fact, when I was little, I called the original performer Roy B. Oibison.
Well, that's goddamn adorable and cute, and she looks smoking hot this cheeky Alice.
Attaboy, someone's getting some tonight. Let's move on to Kevin Brown, our buddy from the Tom Petty Project, who said, David Lee Roth singing a Roy Orbison song? No, just no. Don't like any weird Bon Jovi-esque licks either. It just lacks any kind of charm for me. One of the weakest tracks in the Van Halen catalog for me, and Diver Down is my least favorite album other than Van Halen 3, obviously. So he voted this stream is over.
My only question to our buddy Kevin is, how do you really feel about it?
Quit beating around the bush.
Yeah, it's like, no, tell us your honest opinion on how you feel about this song. Jesus.
That's okay, Kev. We still love you. Michael Green, yeah. Our old buddy Michael Green. Everyone's posting their Spotify rap things today, and he actually posted his. And his number one podcast, Mark, was this one that we're recording right here tonight. So thank you very much for your support, Michael Green.
Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. His comment is, Van Halen made this a rock song. Eddie and Dave just kicked ass on this song. It's what dreams are made of. 100%, buddy. You got it right. Hit that right on the head.
There you go.
Jonathan says, love this cover. Agree that Intruder's a little Love Roy Orbison, love his version, but Van Halen gives it that extra punch. There's that extra punch, Greg, you were talking about that. Whenever they do a cover, they kind of elevate it, right? And
that's right. Power it up. They power it up.
Yep, 100%. Will Leinart says, it's okay. Definitely not a fave. So kind of a middling vote for Will on that one there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. And finally, Bruce Dust says, good, probably the best version of the song, but by 82, I think they could have picked a better tune to cover if they were hell-bent on another cover tune. So maybe questioning Eddie's choice of Oh Pretty Woman on that one, but...
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. Would any other cover have had the same kind of impact? I'm just not sure. We don't live in that timeline. We live in this one. So
that's right.
I don't know. Somewhere on an alternate universe, they covered a different song, and I'd be very curious to see the chart numbers.
I tell you what, there is one cover on that album I'm not real fond of. Hopefully we don't spin it tonight, because for Greg's sake, we're hoping for something good. And we've had a run of singles lately, Mark. You know, ever since the live show, we've been spinning singles. Oh Pretty Woman being the last one, Unchained being the one before that. But I was going to go deep cut tonight, but because Greg is here, I really, really want a big, big song. The practice spin was Ain't Talking About Love. I'm hoping we come right back around and get Ain't Talking About Love for Greg's sake tonight.
Oh, please. Yes. Greg deserves it. He like I said, he took the biggest bullet for us in the first his first appearance here. He is owed, and I'm going to come to the manifestation portion of the show where I ask you, the guests, and Corey, to manifest what they want to bring to the wheel, what energy. So, Greg, with all of your might, with all of your energy, everything you got within you, what do you want to manifest on this episode?
Anything. Literally anything off of the first four records.
Okay. All right. There you go. I was about to say, like, please give it more detail. You can't can't give the universe or the wheel the opportunity to screw you over with just anything.
No, I would love to hear something from the first four records.
All right. So what I'm hearing is he wants a Roth tune. Corey, what are you going to manifest on the show?
Well, I already called it. Ain't Talk About Love. Let's do it. Let's spin it. I'm ready.
You'll hear no argument from me.
Dave is ready.
Oh, yes.
Let's do it. Dave's ready. I hope Sammy's ready backstage. We've primed the wheel. Corey, Greg, you guys ready?
Yeah, yes. Do you have a specific track you're looking for, Mark?
You already said it. Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, well. Tell you what, it's better than How Many Say I.
It's yes, it is, and from a better record.
And it's a single.
What would you guys say if I told you this is like my least favorite 90s Van Halen song?
Okay,
I would say that's pretty typical.
What would you guys say if I told you that?
Mark, you have a mulligan. I used the one
that's true
earlier in the season. You have a mulligan. If you feel like it, we can keep Can't Stop Loving You from Balance on the wheel and give it another spin.
No, I feel like. I mean, it's not my show, but it's entirely up to you guys. But I would not want any sort of
Well, here,
favors done on my behalf. If this is what the wheel has willed, then so be it, and I will trudge forward.
I'm a stickler for the rules we've put in place on this show. Okay. However, as Corey has pointed out, I do have a mulligan, and sometimes, the wheel bestows us what the wheel wants, but sometimes the wheel is wrong. And for this particular show, the wheel is wrong. So I'm sorry.
I can't even believe that's the song that came up. I can't even believe that.
I'm turning in my mulligan that I'm owed here because Greg is owed. So Can't Stop Loving You is going back on the wheel. We're going back in.
All right. Okay.
Back in.
All right. I'm going to shuffle the wheel. I'm not going to ask Greg for a number, though, because he is fucking cursed. So I'm going to ask Mark. Mark, give me a number between 1 and 5.
3.
1, 2, 3. Okay. Round 2. Here we go.
Here we go.
Ooh, you wanted the first 4 albums. How about something from You Wait 1-2 instead? Source of Infection.
I noticed we just missed Dance the Night Away.
We did.
Between Dance the Night Away and Romeo Delight. Yeah.
You know what? Source of Infection, I can work with. It definitely, it's not even just a step up from Can't Stop Loving You or How Many Say. It's several hundred steps up. So I appreciate the mulligan.
We tried so hard, and just the powers of persuasion were not strong enough to take the wheel. The wheel just decided to hell with all of you.
Right.
But
or to hell with me, to hell with Greg, the wheel says.
there's something happening with the connections here. It's just the lines are crossed. I don't know. But instead, we stick with a Sammy tune. We go to OU812, Source of Infection. Greg,
you wanted the first 4 albums, but you got OU812. What do you think of this one?
It's one of the better songs off the record. Admittedly, OU812 is just a record that it hasn't really stood the test of time with me so much. I think a lot of it just has to do with just the overall sound of the record. It's I think the record that just not a lot of teeth on it. Like it's kind of I don't know. I know like people always kind of grilled him for the Hagar stuff as being more like adult contemporary or whatever. And I feel like this record is probably the most adult contemporary of that era. The Hagar era. I definitely think that 5150 had more guts. For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge had more guts. You know, Balance definitely had some more attitude as well too. This is kind of like a mellower Van Halen record. So it hasn't one that's traveled particularly well with me, but this is, you know, one of the more rocking songs on the record, if I remember correctly. So that's basically the memory I have. It is one of the more one of the more rocking tunes on this record.
They do have some bangers on this tune or on this this album. This one, I don't really have any super fond memories of this one. OU812 is not the record that I kept in rotation constantly. But I listened to the songs that I liked on this album prior. But this one never really popped up all that much. Corey, how about you?
Kind of same. OU812 is probably my least listened to other than like Balance and Van Halen 3. We talked about the production ad nauseum. Like Greg said, there's not a lot of teeth to this one. Even Balance, like you said, I think has more balls than probably OU812. If we were going to spin an OU812, actually, I was hoping for something like Black and Blue, because that one does have some backbone to it. I'm not mad at this one here. It's been a while since I've heard it, so I'm looking forward to spinning this one here tonight.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how Sammy's lyrics fare on this one, because I'll hear all about it.
All right. What do you say? Here's a little Source of Infection. We're going all the way back to 1988. OU812.
Yep. Take one.
We'll be right back.
I tell you what, I don't know if a song can start any better than that.
That right there is reminiscent sounds of Van Halen days of old, you know, pre-Sammy. Or so if there was ever a moment where they thought, oh, they went too soft, they just Sammy dumbed them down, I think they should listen to this track and be like, does that sound like we're dumbed down? Like, this is Van Halen.
I think that, you know, it had been a very, very long time since I'd heard this song. And so I knew it was, you know, more one of the more aggressive ones on the record, but I totally forgot about how it started with that classic, you know, tap run. And as soon as it, as soon as the song started, I immediately was like, oh my God, thank you so much for that fucking mulligan. Like, I mean, I totally forgotten about the intro riff, and I was just like, oh yeah, this song actually does totally rip. So yeah, this was, yeah, off to a great start.
Well, and Mark, I agree with you. Yeah. It sounds like early Van Halen. This, like, early on sounds like it could have came off Van Halen too.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I was getting like a Hot for Teacher vibes, and it's mainly because they kind of start off in the same way of, you know, Alex just kind of hitting it pretty hard on the drums, and then Eddie with his little, yeah, the tap groove. So that was giving me those vibes. And, you know, what are you going to, are you going to shit talk Hot for Teacher? No, no one's going to do that.
And I love when bands start with like a take one and a count in 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, and then you kick into it, right? We need more of that. That's fantastic. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What a fucking cornball. Is everybody ready? Let's go!
Now, you mentioned what a cornball, but, you know, not that long ago, we did Unchained, where David Lee Roth was, hey, that suit is you. Like,
but that's, to me, that's, I don't know. Like, there's an element of, it's all about, it's not necessarily what you wear, but how you're wearing it. And that kind of stuff, I think Dave carries better than Sammy does. Like, I don't know why. It's just a vibe thing, you know.
Cornball he may be, but that range though, that let's get, I'm not even gonna attempt to try and hit that note.
No, you can't.
Great stuff. And I'm gonna be completely honest with you. If I had never heard this album before, and you had told me you played Source of Infection and said, hey, this is also a secret track from Van Halen 2. I'd have believed you until Sammy came in, because I'm like, well, David Lee Roth sounds weird in this one. Cause it does. This is giving me like so much like early Van Halen vibes. And,
oh yeah.
Like I just did not even recall that's how this song was going down. And
it's,
I love
it's a hot for teacher boogie. It's a hot for teacher boogie vibe, you know? Yeah.
100%.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the mix on this one sounds all right too for an OU81 true track. That's kind of rare, right? Like, you could say the harmonies are a little low in the mix, perhaps, yes, but everything else is balanced pretty well. I thought so far it sounded pretty good.
The one thing I seem to remember this record was that there really wasn't a lot of bass in it. Like, it's very much a kind of a more a typical kind of hollow 80s sound to it. I think Alex is still kind of heavy with the electronic drums with this one still. So yeah, it's kind of, it has a more hollow, less heartier vibe, which is probably why for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge they went to Andy Johns for that, right? I'm not making that up, right? Okay. Okay, yeah, I think that's why they went back to
It was a combination, right? They went back to Ted Templeman on that one too.
Templeman was involved, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, because Andy Johns and Sammy Hagar didn't get along.
That's right. Well, I think it was the right move to kind of go back to something with a little more weight, you know, with the guy who did, you know, classic Zeppelin stuff like that. So it's definitely, yeah, this record, it's all starting to come back to me. It's definitely got a thinner vibe to it.
Tell you what, the double kick helps though.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, you wanted. Okay, Mark, let's talk about the lyrics. Okay, so that entire verse, sure, the lyrics are sure. Crank it, blow out, ouch, help me, now flip on over, oh baby, you know what I like, whoop whoop whoop. Mm-hmm. Good
just,
stuff.
Yep.
Those aren't even sentences. They're just excited utterances.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, he's absolutely what makes you think at this point in the song that he is trying to paint you a word portrait of poetry? he's not. That's no. At no point was that even going to be a thing. Like he
no.
From the moment Sammy just whooped in with the all right, it's like, yeah, that it's gonna be one of those songs.
Yeah.
Well, flip they're, not on over.
They're not trying to win any Pulitzers on this one, okay? Like this is straight up. I mean, listen to the vibe. This is party Van Halen at its best. You know what I'm saying? It so it's yeah. it's not gonna make sense as long as the music sounds good.
Of course, you
know,
yeah.
We talked about it a few shows ago. Sam even said in interviews that a lot of times he was just, you know, word vomiting out stuff because they were having fun, just whatever kind of sounded good. And, you know, today he's a little embarrassed by some of the lyrics, but back then they were just having fun. This is the perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I was about to say. This sounds like they were having fun. So here's a perfect example of what he was talking about. Yes.
Yeah. She choked the chains.
You got the hook.
Oh, those drums. Those drums are fan-fucking-tastic.
That's great.
He is,
that's
man.
A great chorus. Love that.
Yeah, great chorus.
Love is the source of infection. But I love how beautiful and of just vocally resonant you can make a statement of infection. Mm-hmm. Of infection, mm-hmm. But make it sound so pretty. Like, you mm-hmm. got it. Mikey, you on this? Yeah. All right, let's do it. Look, again, I'm not defending the lyrics. I'm just saying we shouldn't be looking too hard into what this is, okay?
No.
Sammy can't drive 55, but he's reaching 105 degrees. It's pretty self-explanatory. He's there got a go. Fever.
Yep. And the only prescription.
Love.
Say what? That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Wax it on down.
Oh my God.
Oh, Greg is a happy man that Mark used his mulligan.
Oh my God. Incredibly, this song. Oh my God. It's been too long. It's been too long because it fucking rips. It's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Put it back in the rotation, Greg. Yeah. It's worth the spin. There's some good shit on OU812.
Oh, well, when it's Love is one of my favorite Van Halen songs of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Getting an argument from us, that's for sure. But man, I loved what Mikey and Alex were doing underneath that solo.
Yes, like, yes, oh. Thank you.
And, and every once in a while, I had to force myself to like, oh yeah, Eddie Van Halen is also ripping a guitar solo over top.
Right,
of this.
Yeah, I'm like switching back and forth because there's mm-hmm. so much going on, but it flows so nicely, and it's just in my head, I'm just going, yes, that's what we love.
She choked the chain, wax it on down. Here we go.
I mean, can these even be called lyrics? I mean,
yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, this is what we call a like one of those call and response sort of motifs.
It's a tone poem.
Honestly, I don't think it's. I don't even think it could be called call and response. It just sounds like Rorschach tests.
No,
right. Like someone's holding up cards and like, what do you see? And then they're just recording their responses.
Yeah. Choke of the chain, yeah. Wax it on right. down. Like
exactly.
It's like
flip it on
it's
over.
Chant. It's that. It's just chant. It's chant. Chant wave. That's what this is.
Sammy Hagar at his psychiatrist. Yeah. Yeah, I just picture Sammy and now. Kevin Brown's going to do this art. I know he is, but it's Sammy Hagar laying on a couch, getting the Rorschach test, screaming things like round and round, in and out. She got the hook. Can't get away.
Well, now I want that shirt. So we're keeping Kevin busy with these yep. new designs.
Get to work,
Kevin. We appreciate you.
Oh, baby. Source of infection from OU812. Mark, I'm looking at the listing for OU812. I think there's only like one song left on the album proper we haven't done, and that's Black and Blue. Also, Apolitical Blues on the CD. We haven't done that one yet either, but everything else we've covered, this might be the first album we finish is OU812.
Wow. Well, then it will have been an honor, that's kind of disappointing. I was hoping we'd get the worst album out of the way first because we were well on that track. But I don't know. I think OU812 might be our first one out. But what a way to go. Corey, I counted 3 Eddie guitar solos in this song. 3 of them. I mean, like 2 of them were like big full solos. One was sort of like a transition / not transition into the outro, but I'm calling it a solo. 3 solos in one song. I mean, so much bang for your dollar.
It doesn't get any better than that. And I know I was trying to, you know, at the beginning of the song, I'm getting to the point, I don't want to tip my hand. So I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't heard this song in forever. Fuck, I listen to Source of Infection all the time. I love this goddamn song. I don't want to say so at the beginning of the podcast though, because
sure.
You know, you got to try and keep some suspense going, but on OU812, this is one of my favorite tracks. It kicks off side 2. I listened to it on vinyl. So to me, side 2 is really when this album kicks, because you got Source of Infection. Feels So Good is kind of a miss for me, but Finish What You Started, Black and Blue, and then Sucker in a 3-piece. Great Van Halen side B to that album. So I'm just going to, if you don't mind, Mark, I'm just going to go ahead and vote, because I've already said this is one of my favorites on this album.
I was just going to say.
Love this song. Love the production of it. The harmonies maybe a little low in the mix, but not too bad. Like it was fine. It didn't over, because it kind of let Alex shine a little bit with that double kick. And even when Eddie's on that second solo, he's throwing in little kind of off-tempo things just to kind of mix it up a little bit. And Mikey's following right there with him. And it got, because I really like to focus on the drums. It got to the point where I had to remind myself, the greatest rock guitarist of all time is also laying down a kick-ass solo over top of this. I should maybe focus on that for a little bit. Lyrics, like Greg said, it's not lyrics. It's just Sammy just vomiting whatever kind of pops into his head. And that's fine. It's Sammy on the couch doing the Rorschach test, you know, just yelling, wax it on down. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, whatever. Having fun. And it's great. I'm not going to slag this song for lyrically being, you know, not making any sense, because it absolutely works. This is a great jam. This is the kind of thing, you know, you get in the rehearsal room, right? Let's just bust out Source of Infection. To the point where, and now we're going to play one of my new favorite games. How many times did Van Halen play Source of Infection live we're going to do this Price of Right style. So you have to get closest to the actual number without going over. Greg, okay. Let's start with you as the guest. How many times has Van Halen played Source of Infection live?
Well, let me think here. I'm going to say if they didn't play it on this tour, then they never played it. I'm thinking maybe, possibly, they saw who they were playing with on this Monsters of Rock tour. You know, these young upcoming bucks known as Metallica. Maybe they thought, well, maybe we need something more intense in the set, possibly. And so maybe they threw it in on this tour. I'm going to say...
Boy, Greg, deep in thought on this one.
I mean, yeah, I was like,
there isn't a prize. You don't have to think that.
I know, but I'll say 10 times.
10 times. Okay, Mark Kammeyer, you got to go higher or lower?
Higher.
Okay, so what's your number?
15.
15. The correct answer is, according to setlist.fm, 3.
Ooh,
damn. Okay.
Ooh,
so you both went over.
I guess that's not a surprise. I can't imagine. Yeah, I guess I'm not surprised.
I was close to calling out a single digit number, but I thought I was like, nah, let me give it just a little bit more credit, perhaps, and I shouldn't have. But yeah, it still would have been over because I would guess like maybe 8.
And they did it 3 times in the same city, East Troy, Wisconsin, at the Alpine Valley Music Theater, May 27th, 28th, 29th.
They did they just played it three gigs in a row, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. According to setlist.fm, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Interesting.
They did a lot of OU812 that night. Like, they did AFU, they did Black and Blue, Can't This Be Love, Mine All Mine, Sucker to Three Police, When It's Love.
What were the dates on those gigs again?
They were May 27th, 1988, May 28th, May 29th.
When did the album come out?
Album came out May 20th, 1988. So yeah, a week after.
That's why it was the promotional push.
Yep.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Interesting. This thing would have killed live though. Like, man,
you would think, but especially when they're playing with Metallica and they maybe need to kind of bump up their muscles a little bit. But I don't know. I can also see. Well. I don't know, because they weren't really doing Roth stuff at that time. So I was going to say,
this could have been their teacher substitute.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I was going to say. You wouldn't want to take away from Hot for Teacher, but then again, they weren't playing that song with Hagar. So
like play something equivalent,
comparable. Yeah. Or maybe they didn't want to remind people, but I don't fucking know. I don't know why you don't play songs that live. That song rules, you know?
That's a question for Greg Renoff or Eric Sinich, the actual experts. So you feel free to direct those questions to them. all right. So Corey, he already voted. He knew right away this was going to be an upvote. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it to myself and get my vote out of the way. And my vote for this song is... Because I can only show my hand so much until it finally just completely gives the answer away. This song rocks. This is a rockin' Van Halen song. This, to me, sounds like a perfect example of what people love to hear from Van Halen in general, as a whole, as a band. Even if you're if you're pro Sammy over Roth or whatever, you still agree that party rock Van Halen is still where it's at. I mean, it's their bread and butter. It's what, you know, really got them exploding on the scene. This song sounds like a callback to that era. You don't have to analyze the lyrics because the lyrics aren't exactly, those aren't, it's not important. The lyrics aren't important. It's a source of infection, love. Okay. So you got a fever and you got to cure it with lots of quote unquote love. There you go. analyzation over. We don't have to think about it anymore. The lyrics weren't important. What was important were the high notes that Sammy's throwing at you consistently. The awesome harmonies that are just so tight and just so locked in that unfortunately the mixing does them no favors whatsoever. But regardless, this song smokes. So yeah, absolutely.
Don't forget the 16 and a half minutes of guitar solos in it too.
You can talk more about that when I throw it to you there, Greg. But yeah, you're right. A three Eddie Van Halen guitar solos for the price of one, and they all sound great, and they're all different in their own way. Like, what more do you want from a good Van Halen song, honestly? So I just, yeah, it's absolutely a thumbs up. But Greg, now it comes to you, because you unfortunately had to not enjoy yourself with the song from your previous engagement, as we've mentioned before. So now, with all that, with the slate cleaned off, you got a new show, a new song to talk about. How did you feel about Source of Infection?
I would say, if love is a source of infection, then consider me infected. And I'd say that's the shit that dreams are made of. I mean, I'm still reeling from the fact that the wheel really wanted to give me Can't Stop Loving You. This wheel has such a frightening read on my dislikes, and it's it's really, really quite unsettling. But again, I will thank you again, Mark, for the mulligan.
Of course. It, if I didn't have the mulligan, or if I just didn't feel good about it, I probably would not have taken it, just to keep the conversation interesting. And if this were your first come around on the show, Greg, I would have said, nope, we got to do it. This is how it works. Yeah. But as I said, you took the biggest bullet out of everybody for the show thus far. So I think you were owed a real good one. And we promised you to get you back on so that you could have the opportunity. And so I am extremely happy that though we didn't get the particular era you wanted, we got a song that I think it fit in well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like, I appreciate the mercy. You know, it was like that scene in Casino. I don't know if you ever seen Casino when they beat Pesci's brother. Like, not, they beat him mercilessly, but they don't beat him to death, and they bury him alive, and Pesci's begging them just to kill him, you know, but kill him before they bury him. And I felt like that was the look I got from you guys when I said that was that song I just really, really dislike.
I love the imagery, like, awesome. Big fan of Scorsese films. So yeah, but maybe the
bad wheel spin wasn't that severe or grotesque, but that's the that's the empathy I was feeling from you guys at that point. Just like, just please kill him, please. Just kill him, please.
Throw the damn towel. Yeah. Bring it to Rocky IV. Luckily we got you in on a really solid track, and that makes me happy. So I hope you're happy with it as well. Corey, we've done it. We've another one in the books. As you mentioned, OU 812 is that much closer to being off of our wheel entirely, and that's an interesting, sad thought, but the wheel comes for us all.
That's very true. But I don't know, but I'm having a lot of fun here tonight. We spun a great song. Greg is a great guest. I kind of want to keep the night rolling and maybe play a little best of both books. What do you guys say?
Okay. So Corey wants to play a game where Mark is very confident and then sucks really hard at said game. But yeah, that's entertaining. Let's do it.
This is the point where I point out Mark is never won a round of best of both books. He hosts a Van Halen podcast, has not won one round, but here we go. All right. You guys know the rules. I have two biographies sitting in front of me. One of them, Crazy from the Heat by David Lee Roth. The other one, Red by Sammy Hagar. I'm going to read a line or two from one of those books. You guys have to tell me what book it was. Here we go. The first line. In a number of Van Halen tunes, there's places where the lyrics don't make exact sense or you can't quite decipher what's being said. Mark Kammeyer, what book did that come from?
Well, that's Sammy's, because that's been mentioned many times.
All right, one vote for Sammy Hagar's Red. Greg, what book did that come from?
I kind of got distracted by the backing music. Can I get that Red one more time?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
In a number of Van Halen tunes, there's places where the lyrics don't make exact sense, or you can't quite decipher what's being said. Again, there is no prize.
I know, but still, what's the point of...
It's just to make me look foolish or to give a break.
If you're playing a game, you got to play to win, right?
I know, I'm just busting your balls, my friend.
Yeah,
what book did that line come from?
I'm going to say that sounds like a shot. It sounds like a shot, like an insult. And so I'm going to say that is from Red.
All right, so we got two votes for Sammy Hagar. You are both incorrect. That came from Crazy from the Heat.
What?
By David Lee Roth.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Sammy's mentioned that his lyrics don't make sense.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to read the next line and you're going to get it.
All right.
And that comes from trying to imitate old blues records where you couldn't get anything but the end of the sentence. That's how you speak blues. You go, boobity bop blah bleeby all night long.
Yeah,
had I read that part.
Damn it. Why didn't you read that part? That would have been easy.
You could have read that.
Gave it away.
That would have been a slam dunk.
All right.
So we're at 0-0.
See, I would have for sure thought that was a shot at Dave from Sammy. You know, talking about like old Van Halen material or some shit like that. And I guess I was wrong. I guess we were both wrong, Mark.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Naturally, right. I was wrong.
Here we go. Passage number two. And I quote, I guess the best I can say is don't believe every syllable of everything that you read by everybody who wrote it. Greg DePasquale, what book is that line from? You know what? I'll even give you the next line. That's not quite fair. Here's the next line. Go out and buy those records and see if you can hear the truth in the music.
I'm going to say that's Dave.
All right. We got one vote. Dave Lee Roth, Crazy from the Heat. Mark Kammeyer.
Yeah, I think that's Dave as well.
You are both right. That came from Crazy from the Heat by David Lee Roth.
Find the truth in the music. That sounds when Roth he wants to be sagey. Sounds like something Dave would say. Yeah.
See, I should have kept it to the one line. Damn it. Okay. Let's go on to the next line here. You're both tied at one here. About 4 days later, I called her. If I send a plane for you, will you come and see me on my birthday? I said. Are you kidding me? She said. Of course I would. She's got to give me some pussy now. Mark Kammeyer, what book did that come from?
That's Sammy's book. For some Cabo Wabo.
We got one vote for Sammy Hagar. Greg?
I'm going to piggyback on Mark's confidence. I'm going to say Sammy as well.
You shouldn't do that.
Well, this time he should, because you are both correct.
Uh-huh.
that came from Red. Crazy from the Heat. Well done. We are tied at two.
Yeah, we need a tiebreaker now.
All right, I got to find my next passage here. You guys amuse yourself.
I also feel like Dave wouldn't have said pussy. I feel like he would have been
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, he wouldn't have said pussy. He would have said something. He would have been like, I got to get some clam, or I don't know. He would have said something weird.
He would have said something not what was said. You know, he would have said something like he would have danced around it, but being that kind of vulgar, I guess that's
like
straight
I need
up.
The oobity doobity.
Yeah, right. The oobity doobity. That's fucking awesome, dude. But yeah, just to be straight up saying, well, I gotta get pussy now. I mean, that's That's totally Sammy for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like something Sammy would utter.
Yeah.
And sure enough. Right.
Sure enough, he did. 2-2 is the current score. All right, gentlemen, your next quote. "I'm not a junior psychiatrist. Why do people behave like they do? I think everybody was hurt. Everybody in the band felt let down." Greg DePasquale, what book did that come from?
I'm going to go with Dave again.
All right. One vote for David Lee Roth. Mark Kamar?
I'll say that's Roth as well.
And you are both correct. 3-3. Well done, gentlemen. Very close round to best of both books here. All right. Here's an easy one. Mark, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
"So I commence, and I'm, like, tentative, but I begin to spank this little girl's bottom." Mark Kamar, what book did that come from?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with that statement. I don't want to say either one of them because that's how uncomfortable I am about that statement. Oh, God. You said that was an easy one. I don't know. Is that any? Okay. Is that a Sammy thing? I'm going to say Sammy.
All right. One vote, Sammy Hagar. Greg?
Can you read the last? Can you read the last half of that line again?
Because I hope I'm wrong.
Well, the last half was "I started to spank this little girl's bottom."
I'm going to say Dave.
All right. Our first split here. One vote Dave, one vote Sammy. And the point goes to Greg. That comes from David Lee Roth's book. And
I'm okay with that.
If you're disturbed by that, Mark, wait till you read the whole story. It gets worse.
Oh, God. It gets worse. Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know. That's
all
like,
right, Greg. Greg is at 4. Mark, you're at 3. Greg could win it if he gets this next one right. You need him to miss, and you need to get this one to tie it up. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, Mark, we're going to you first. And I quote, "I was looking for a cabin in the woods with 100 acres. I was stocking up on food. I got guns. I had all my ammunitions, not to kill people, but to eat." What book did that come from?
That's got to be from Sammy's. The line, "I got guns," sounds like something he'd absolutely say.
All right, that's one vote, Sammy Hagar. Greg?
I'm going Dave again.
All right. Split again, and I got to tell you, we're going to sudden death. Mark Kamar, you got that one right. That came from Red.
All right.
I would have won because I wanted to say Dave for that last question, but I said Sammy because I just was hoping to be wrong.
All right. So this could be the winning point here. You both are tied at 4. The quote is this. "You know him," Al would say, pointing at Eddie's signature painted guitar. "See all those stripes? Whacked out things all over the place? That's the way his mind works. Everything this way, that way, scattered. Can't focus. Can't concentrate." Greg, what book do you think that came from? This is a tough one.
I think I'm going with Dave.
All right, we got one vote. David Lee Roth, Mark Kamar, what do you think?
I also think it's Dave.
Oh, well, we're going to another round, and you're both wrong. That came from Red by Sammy Hagar.
All right, okay.
All right, I got to find another passage. You guys talked amongst yourselves.
You know, fucked up part is I've read Crazy from the Heat, and it just there's so much in that book that is just insanity, and it's so incoherent, and it's like its flow that like I don't even remember reading these things.
Yeah,
like there's not one thing that Corey said that has like triggered a memory. I'm just going based on like thinking about how these dudes talk and their general vernacular and verbiage, and that's really what I'm going off of. But just the fact that none of these things are triggering any memory of anything I read from Crazy Room, he just is another indictment of how just insanely scatterbrained it's written, you know.
Which, you know, I guess feels like it would make a lot of sense, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, if you guys are ready, I got your potential winning quote here. We're going to start with Mark, so get ready.
All right.
And I quote, "And as my eyes adjusted, I see that half the people in the place are naked. Guys crawling on their hands and knees in leather jock straps." Mark Kammerer, what book did that come from?
I think that's Sammy's book.
All right, one vote for Sammy. Greg?
You know, that's too on the nose for Dave. So, I mean, I feel like I would have to go Sam for that one as well.
All right. So we're still tied because you voted the same and you're both wrong. That came from Crazy from the Heat from David Lee Roth. The next line is one big guy, big dock worker guy, leather jockstrap, got leather gloves on. He's holding maybe 14 little pieces of fishing line, a foot and a half long with a fish hook on the end of it. People were chained and getting whipped.
What was he? Where was he? What was this?
Obviously, he was in some sex dungeon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I guess so. I was just like, this, but how? Yeah, okay.
All right. Next line, and I quote, "When I looked up and saw her face in her eyes, I realized how beautiful she was. You like those Cheetos?" her girlfriend said. Greg DePasquale, what book did that come from?
You like those Cheetos? Wow. I can't imagine Dave emoting like that. I'm going with Sammy.
All right, one vote Sammy Hagar. Mark Kammerer?
I think it was Dave.
Oh, so we're going to have a winner. Congratulations to Greg, who won this round of Best of Both Books. That came from Red. Sammy Hagar's book. Greg takes it 5-4. Good game, guys. Mark, you came so close.
Yeah, it was the Cheetos. Cheetos and the emoting was the tipping point. Yeah.
Good call on the emoting. Yeah. Well done. All right. Greg wins
the
round.
What it says to me about this game we play is that in my brain, Sammy and Dave are not that different, because some of the passages you read out loud could be either one of them.
I was shocked by how much Sammy Hagar writes about, you know, pussy and fucking girls and stuff. Right. Like it's constant. Like,
it throws me off every time, because I was like, I don't know. It sounds like something Dave easily would say, but what do I know? I'm not the expert, as they love reminding me.
Hey, Greg was really confident coming in, though. And you did win, but man, we had to go in overtime there. You got a few of them wrong there, my friend.
Hey, it's all about, see, and you wanted to make fun of me for overthinking it, but you know what? Damn, it was down to the wire, and it was nut cutting, and it was serious fucking business.
That's right.
That's what happens. Yeah. We like to bring the fun, the ruckus, and the competition to the podcast. That's what we do here. Greg, thank you so much for coming back to the show. So glad we got you a better track. Please let the people know what you are, where they can find you if they want to contact, and what where they can go to listen to what you got going on.
Well, once again, I am a co-host of the So Far So Pod So What transatlantic state-of-the-art speed metal podcast, the as far as I know right now, the only Megadeth podcast going that I'm aware of. We also kind of touch on some harder edge music, basically metal adjacent topics. We talk about some other bands occasionally just to get a breather from the Megadeth grind. But primarily our principal point of topic is Megadeth. And you can find us. Shit, I don't even know I don't even know our Twitter address. I'm looking it up right now. So give me one second here while I talk, just to really fill the void in space. It's at So Far So Pod. Find us on Twitter. Check us out. We don't really have a set release schedule for episodes. We kind of have a bunch of other things in the fire of life. Jonathan, my co-host, he has another podcast, Made in A to Z, also on the Deep Dive Podcast Network with So Far, So Pod, So What, and this excellent show and the podcast Will Rock, kind of all in the family here. So, so yeah, we don't, we kind of get releases out when we can, shows out, at least maybe, you know, depending on availability, 2 to 3 a month. So stay tuned, hit us up. If you got questions, if you want to hear us talk about shit, drop a line. Maybe we'll listen, or maybe we'll tell you to fuck off, but we'll at least address you.
That's all you can ask for.
That's how we communicate on Twitter. You know, that's right. The way it goes. So
yeah,
be sure to check that out. Absolutely. Corey, where can the people find us from various mediums, and where can they find you?
Oh, they could find the show, www.podcastwillrock.com. All our old episodes, merch you can get there. I'm working on a Redbubble store for all us fellow Canadians who don't want to pay $40 in shipping to get some Podcast Will Rock merch. We're on Twitter, at Podcast Will Rock. I'm at Twitter, at CD Morissette, and we are proud members of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. So I'll give you a quick rundown of all the shows. We have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Made in A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Mark and me at the Podcast Will Rock. Myself and John Mariano and Scott Haskin are now doing Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. Scott has come on as a co-host of that show, so check us out there. We also, John and I, do a show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music in movies. Clay and Rye at the North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan on the aforementioned So Far, So Pod, So What. A great show. Everybody should check that out. Kevin Brown at Kevin at the Tom Petty Project, and Quinn at And Volume for All, and Sav, Nick, John, and Mark at Rock Roulette Podcast. And Mark, we got a little live show coming up December 17th. We're going to be doing a Deep Dive December live show. We're going to get as many of these fine folks as we can on the show. We're going to spin the wheel. We're going to talk Van Halen, and we're going to celebrate everything from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. A great group of guys and a great group of shows.
Yeah. If you want to be a guest on the show and have been waiting, because we do have people that have been waiting a while, we apologize. We're getting to you, but your best chance, hey, join us for the live show. We'll get you on as quick as we absolutely can. It's going to be a fun time. If you were with us for our last live show, you know what a blast we all had. So much so that Corey and I decided, hey, let's do that again. So here we go. We're going to do it, and be sure to tune in. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not on the Hive yet because I don't know if I trust a thing called Hive. But we'll, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the whole social media wars and what have you. But we also have a Facebook group too, just in case. So find us there. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us a rating. We don't talk about this enough, man. Like, this is a podcast, and we love that we have an audience, and you guys do very well by us by sharing it around. Do us a favor. Jump on either wherever you get your podcast and give us a good high rating. Leave a comment or two, even if it just says a single word, like a Sammy Hagar song about sex. You know, just leave one of those just to let us know that we're doing you good, doing you right. And hey, it helps us out, helps spread the word, gets more people like you interested, and that's a good thing. Yeah, you want the show to keep going. Corey and I want the show to keep going, so let's keep it going. Keep us support us. There it is, just support us. That would be great. I love what you guys are doing already, but let's just keep the momentum going. Yeah. That's it for me. That's it on behalf of Corey and our guest, Greg, for returning. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.